Yes, g'day everyone. Tuesday, April 2, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. Very good morning to you wherever and however you're listening. Hope you had a fantastic Easter weekend, and Puppy's over there commentating at the IPL, and we're hoping to link up with him soon. But what a day. Yesterday afternoon at CommBank Stadium, the West's Tigers, 17-16. In a dramatic match there against Parramatta, and the Lachie Galvin era at the Tigers in full swing early for the 18-year-old, although it looks like he will face suspension. In fact, can cop 2 weeks with an early plea for a hip drop tackle there yesterday. The AFL Geelong beat Hawthorn. It was dramatic in a different way. The margin was 36 points, but there was a weather delay around three quarters of an hour there heading into the final quarter as thunderstorm and lightning was striking around the MCG area. But plenty of other stories around the weekend. Tim Zhu, of course, suffering his first defeat of his professional career. We'll touch on that this morning as well. And racing, day one of the championships at Randwick Loom on Saturday, although the forecast later in the week, not good. Let's hope that the Bureau is not overly accurate when it comes to that forecast. Plenty of rain, particularly Thursday, Friday, and possibly Saturday as well, but especially Thursday, Friday, the forecast. Not looking great at the moment. Lozza, great to see you. Hope you had a great Easter, mate. How was it? Morning to you.
Yeah, happy Easter to everybody, and hopefully they enjoyed the holiday and witnessed some good sport over the weekend, but also got to spend some quality time with their loved ones. You mentioned a couple of those sporting teams, Mido, the big one on the weekend. How could you forget? The Jack Jumpers.
Oh, how did
the Jack Jumpers.
Unreal.
They defended the island.
Tasmania's well greatest, triumph,
greatest triumph.
In sport.
Well done. Well done to the Jack Jumpers defeating Melbourne United. Didn't see any of the game, but I saw some highlights and I saw the reaction of the players and the coaches afterwards. So that's a... that's a big win for them. So well done. I don't think too many people would be disappointed with the Jack Jumpers winning. But yeah, sat down yesterday and watched the Tigers and the Parramatta team play. Geez, they had their opportunities, Parramatta. Oh. Without Mitch Moses, they look rudderless at times.
What should they have been up by at halftime?
Well, they just had all the possession and they were just pounding the West Tigers line, and the Tigers defended well, but they really didn't throw too much at them, Parramatta. So I'd be disappointed if I was a Parramatta fan. But if you're a Tigers fan, you are certainly up and about. That's two from three. Not only was the victory against the Sharks the week before impressive, I thought they showed some guts yesterday. They really dug in when they were under siege there. They could have conceded points when they were defending that try line just through fatigue. And I know that I've been critical of Parramatta just with the way they attacked the line yesterday. But well done to the Tigers. Good to see a couple of young blokes playing well. And Lachie Galvin, yeah, for an 18-year-old to step in and play the way he did was unbelievable. And to come up with a match-winning play for his team, after being sent to the sin bin for 10 minutes, just showed you he didn't lose his composure, and he's got a big future in front of him.
Does he remind you of anyone, Loz? Is there anything about him that...
There's nothing that sort of stands out in terms of comparing him to someone else at this stage. But I think one thing I do like about him, he's very confident. You know, that little short kick to set up a try early in the game, after being placed in the sin bin, taking the line on, wanted to get his hands on the ball. And yesterday I was sitting there and Dylan Brown had some nice touches, but I was urging him to get involved a little bit more, whereas the 18-year-old kid on the opposite side took the bit between his teeth. Mm. And I just thought Dylan could have done a little bit more yesterday, being the leader in that team. So, but yeah, Parramatta were all over the shop, and I think Brad Arthur said after the game that they didn't want to play tough to win.
Dramatic finish, wasn't it? So there was Galvin's sublime, break and pass for Jareem Buller, wasn't it, with 12 minutes left. So that puts the Tigers ahead. Then Clint Gutherson nails a penalty goal. So we're back even. Aiden Caesar, just barely over a minute left. One of the uglier looking field goals you'll see. Nice and flat, barely got over the crossbar. And then as only the Tigers can do, concede a penalty off the kickoff. I mean, it was unfortunate, as you know, the two players are contesting the ball, and Isaiah Papali'i standing in front of them, and naturally he's just standing on side, but he's obviously going to dive on the ball. So, 40 metres out from close to the sideline. If you're a Tigers fan, what do you think is going to happen as Gutho lines that up?
Well, I actually sat on the couch and I said to my daughter, I said, he won't get this, Gutho.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he looked fatigued. Gutho doesn't look fatigued that often. And I reckon as a goal kicker, if you're not used to it, Mitch Moses does a lot of goal kicking. And because he was fatigued and hadn't done a lot of kick, I said he'll swing it to the left, because what he'll try and do, he'll try and kick it too hard to try and get the distance.
Which is exactly what he did.
Yeah, and then he hooked it to the left. And I said that just sitting there. Because what you do when you're under fatigue and you're not used to being a goal kicker in that situation, you're wanting to make sure you get the distance first. And I reckon Gutho put a bit extra into it and therefore got under it, hooked it a little bit. But that was only me thinking like that. Could have looked like an idiot. He could have put it between the posts. But, I was never confident that he'd get it from there. Never. I thought the Tigers, they deserved to win. They hung on. And a great way for Benji to start his coaching career. That's 2 from 3. They get a great opportunity next week when they take on the Dolphins, who, after losing round one, after 4 rounds are now on top of the table.
And they looked ordinary in round one.
Oh, they looked terrible. So I think it just goes to show what we said at the start of the year, Meadow. There will be upsets, and there'll be plenty of them.
There's not an undefeated
team in the comp.
No,
Cowboys
there's not
beaten.
And only one team that hasn't had a win, and that is Des Hasler's Gold Coast Titans.
And they're far from having a win by the look of them at the moment, the Titans, from what I'm seeing.
Gee, that looks like a long year potentially ahead of the Gold Coast. So much to sink our teeth into this morning, and in the racing on Saturday, we saw Orchestral. Got there in the end in the Vinery Stud Stakes, this star Kiwi filly. Calipore at odds for Dylan Gibbons and Chris Lees winning the Group 1 Tancred. And at Flemington, Cascadia, what a win, going back-to-back in the TAB Australian Cup. Gee, Pride of Jenny, how tough is she rolling out in front there? But Cascadia just too good there in the end, reeled her in. And so we head towards the championships on Saturday and day one. And what a day in prospect. As good a day as there is on the racing calendar with the 4 Group 1s and the New Haven Park Country Championships final as well. And later this morning, 10 a.m. this morning, Eastern Daylight Time, Sky Sports Radio will have it all covered. The Derby and Doncaster barrier draws. And as it stands, another Will. What a performance from another Will, which ended up being long odds on. It SP'd on Saturday, the Doncaster Prelude. Up from Victoria, and it's $3.50 favourite all-in for the Doncaster. Riff Rocket, $3 for the Derby at the top of the all-in betting with TAB. And just can't wait to see Imperatrix back in Sydney for only the second time. $3 for the TJ, just favourite ahead of I Wish I Win going into the TJ first up. And then we head, looking at the English side, seeing Storm Boy. $2.50 favourite all-in as it stands. What about Bandy's Boy? Its performance in the Star Kingdom on Sunday. It's $2.30 for the New Haven Park Country Championships final for Denny Williams' stable there at Goulburn on Saturday as it stands as well. So a fantastic day in prospect. Now, I believe it's our mate's birthday today, actually, over there in India.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure. Pup from India. Morning to you, mate.
Boys, I'm sitting in the corner of this room. I'm trying not to breathe because I think I might lose Wi-Fi. So let's see how long we can go for. But happy Tuesday. Some things never change in India, that's for sure.
Is it your birthday today?
It actually might be, yes.
Yeah, happy birthday.
As you know.
Happy birthday.
Another day older. I think once you get past 40, you try and keep it pretty quiet, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose I probably will later this week.
How is it over there, my friend?
Thanks, yeah, it's good. It's good, boys. It's nice and warm. I'm in a place called Vizag at the moment. So I had a game last night, got a game tomorrow, and then I'm out of here. And then I'm back into the bigger cities where I think my reception will be a little bit better. So hopefully I can join you boys again. But it's really hard to explain or do it justice in words, you know. When the IPL's on over here, it's just a different world. It's like there's not a spare seat in any game. Like you talk about cricket, you know, I'm massively old school in regards to Test cricket being the pinnacle. But when you come here and watch this IPL, you can just see it's everything to all the Indian people. They have their teams, they follow around different cities to follow their teams. There's, like I say, every single game is absolutely packed out. And when I say packed, if it seats 20,000, there's 40,000 in there. You like shove over two to a chair, and just the atmosphere is so loud. My first game, MS Dhoni was playing. He was retired from all cricket pretty much apart from the IPL. But you've never seen so many Dhoni jerseys in your life. And just the noise when he walks onto the field, he blocks it and the crowd goes wild. He, you know, chases a ball. It's out of control.
Gosh, he's 42 now, MS Dhoni.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and still looks. He looks about 35. He's as fit as I've ever seen him. And the other night he made 30 off 14 balls or something. Just phenomenal.
I saw the Royals won last night against the Indians. Did they, Mumbai Indians?
Yeah, Mumbai struggling, mate. Again, another example of that tribalism over here. So Rohit Sharma, the Indian captain, he's the most successful IPL winning captain. He's won the most IPLs out of anyone. I think he's won four or five. He's been captain of Mumbai his entire career. Now, they've just brought back Hardik Pandya, who also plays for India, but Mumbai bought him from a different team, brought him back, and Hardik said the only way I'll come back is if I'm made captain. So they made him captain. So now, even the Mumbai fans, anytime they see Hardik on the field or on the big screen, they are just booing him because they love Rohit Sharma because he's been so good and he's the Indian captain. So, and Mumbai are numb from three. They can't win a game at the moment. So to the extent if you mention Hardik's name on commentary in any sort of positivity, the criticism on social media from our Indian supporters, they just, at the moment, they are off him big time because they're sort of trying to make out like he's stolen the captaincy off one of their favourites, Rohit Sharma. But, oh, yeah, again, just that tribalism like I've never experienced before in any sport.
Back page, in fact, front page as well. Rawsome finale, front page of the Daily Telegraph there today. And it's the Tigers celebrating galvanised. What a birthday present for Pup with the Tigers winning yesterday. Lockie Galvin, galvanised. The headline on the back page of the telly. Hail Caesar is on the back page of the Herald, alluding to Aiden Caesar's field goal that put them in front. I'll tell you what, you did it the hard way though, Pup. Had to survive a Gutho penalty goal there on after the final siren to ensure he got the 2 points. But after all the talk around the new era with Benji Marshall, etc., here you are, 2 wins, one loss so far, and one of a plethora of teams, considering you've had your bye as well, on 6 competition points at the top of the ladder. Who would have thought?
Exactly. There, it took the words right out of my mouth. You know, who would have thought? Well, one thing's for sure. If we keep winning, the boys will know the words because I know they copped some criticism about not knowing the words to the team song and standing there holding paper. But they keep playing like that and finding a way. And yeah, they had some luck, no doubt about it. I felt for Gutho only because Gutho's, you know, he's a legend. He's a great fella and he's a wonderful player. So I felt for him, but not really happy for Benji and the Tigers. And I think you could see that coaching box was, you know, every single play that last sort of 15 minutes all up on their feet. So there was some nerves in there. But, yeah, what a great win and a tough win as well.
Yeah, I think that's the correct word too, Pup, is tough. I thought their forwards were outstanding yesterday and they needed to be against a toughened and experienced Parramatta forward pack. And Clemmer and Big Stefano Utukamanu were very good in the early exchanges. Obviously, they got a bit of class there with young Galvin. He just looks like he's got a bit of time and Nothing seems to faze him. Buller at the back is an exciting player. Parramatta had some chances. I was disappointed with the way that Parramatta attacked yesterday. I mean, they had enough possession there to win that game. As good as the Tigers defended, I just thought they attacked poorly. But the Tigers, that'll do their confidence the world of good. And they go. I think that game next week is up north at Suncorp Stadium. So they'll give themselves a good chance of beating the Dolphins, the Tigers. And that'll be 3 from 4. And what a start. What a start.
Who would have thought, Loz?
Well, you just don't know.
And I think the other thing as well, Loz, like even watching, like I watched the highlights, I think it's not about the Tigers making the grand final. I just think the fact that they're finding a blend of footy that now allows our fans to, you know, be proud of. Like if we play like that and Gutho gets that kick and we lose, I still think you can hold your head high as a fan.
Yeah, I think you can too. I think you walk away out of that game yesterday, regardless of the result, happy with your team's performance, because I thought they showed plenty yesterday, the Tigers. Certainly a lot better than what we've seen in the last couple of years. But they're now starting to put together consistency. Can we say that after 2 victories? You know, reserve my comment, but I think what we've seen is the Tigers in the past lose and then they fall back into old habits and then they get beaten. But, you know, if they can win 3 in a row, it's amazing how much confidence that will generate around the whole organisation, which then flows through to the fans, which then flows through to the team's performance again. So it's just this circle that you feed off each other.
Yeah. And it keeps the media away, Loz, doesn't it? Like, I think that's the other thing for, you know, Benji and that team. They probably just need a bit of space now to not be in the media every day so they can focus within the group and just try and get better.
You're right. I reckon South would be happy too, the fact that they won on the weekend, because I haven't read too much about South this week. Their game on Friday, you know, the weekend newspapers didn't have many stories about them. You know, the last couple of days we've sort of moved on to other storylines.
So true.
So, and South's got a tough one this week against the Warriors, but if, you know, winning covers a lot of cracks in your organisation and a lot of weaknesses in your footy team, you know, because you sort of move on and you're looking for someone else to talk about. But South, I thought that was a gritty game by South and the Dogs. I think the Dogs have improved. I know they didn't get the win and they've only won the one game, but I don't know, there's a bit more steely resolve about the Dogs this year.
Some fallout as far as injuries in that game on Good Friday as well, which we'll get to. But on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald is the headline, Raiders to ask NRL to rule on Sharks trainer, and Shire Az texts in, morning lads, middo, how could this not be the front and centre of your opening? The Canberra Raiders blowing an 18-0 lead against an absolutely depleted Sharks forward pack. Loz, did the Sharks win that or did the Raiders throw it away? But on this story specifically, the Sharks trainer, Daniel Holdsworth there, just being sort of in the line of sight of Jamal Fogarty as he took, it was a penalty to bring it back to 30-24 from out near the sideline. And Daniel Holdsworth there pretty close by.
What's that, a five?
What'd you make of it, Loz?
Well, I saw it on the night and I said, but at the time I didn't know which trainer it was. And I thought that's a pretty stupid thing to do if you're the Canberra trainer. Mm. So I just assumed it was the Sharks trainer. And I was sitting next to my mate who I was with, and I said, oh, geez, that's not on. You can't do that unless it's our trainer. Yeah. Anyhow, I didn't think too much more of it, but now the story's in the paper. But I'm assuming that will be a fine, because there was an issue
Nathan
in the
Cleary,
game.
Wasn't it? Ooh. The Nathan Cleary kick, wasn't it?
Might have been, yes. Mm. Yes, I think it was. Mm. Yes. Was it Newcastle?
Oh, I can't remember exactly who.
Anyway, well, whatever, there was an issue and there was... So, I think that's a fine, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, that's too close.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it'll be fine. I don't think there's anything else you can read into it. He probably just got caught up in the moment, got the message out, probably needed to get back to the bench, wasn't really thinking about Jamal lining up to kick the goal. I don't think it would have been intentionally, because I don't think they would Well, I don't think he would have done it.
No.
Because I think what happens is that when it gets tight and there's messages flying left, right and centre, you're just doing your best to get the message out there, come back to the bench because they're screaming for you to get back there. And in the scheme of things, you're not thinking about the guy kicking the goal.
And we'll get to the game and what transpired, but your mate Ricky, his press conference after legendary Ricky.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What was someone trying to? I love it because the journalists are like trying to get an answer out of him that you know he might elaborate on. So I'll say something, and I can imagine the journalists think, I'll ask something positive. Matt Timoko, he goes, all right, he went all right. Ricky's response, nobody was solid tonight, mate. There wasn't a player on our team that was solid. Don't be giving praise to people that don't deserve it. How good is he?
One of his best. Oh, one of superb. His best.